Thank you, guys. Good morning, and how are you going? Great to see you. Are you well? Excellent. You can grab your seat. That was a lovely... I'm going to come down every weekend just for those kind words, those introductions. That was really, really good. Hey, it's great to be with you. I see some new faces. Who's never been here when I've been here before? Give me a wave if you've never been at church when I've been in the room. Awesome. Great to see you. Fantastic. God bless you. What about if it's your first day? Who's here for the first time? Just give us a quick wave. Magnificent. Great to have you. Awesome. Welcome to church. I think today the Owens, your parents, Ash, are on the sunny coast. I feel like they're avoiding me. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. So, no, they're up there visiting fam and going up. I think Kobe's up on the Sunshine Coast. Yeah, he is. So Kobe's up there just seeking Jesus, I feel like, is what Kobe's up there doing. He's just seeking the will of God for his life. And seeing what God might do. Anyway, I won't say any more than that. That's awesome. But I know you're a big fan of inter-location friendships, aren't you, Dan and Ed? But yeah, big fan. So, and there's a tug of war. Yeah, anyway. So it's great to be here today. We are in a really awesome series. What I'm excited about right now in church is tonight we have a night of power. And so we're going to talk about that a bit later. But on the sunny coast, once a month, we have a night of power. We're sort of working towards once a quarter in Melbourne having a night of power. Our name is C3 Powerhouse, which means part of the call that we believe God has for our church is to see the miraculous. We believe that the miraculous is not just for the New Testament. It's not just for a couple of select churches around the world, but it's normal for Christians to see the power of God move in our lives. So if you believe that, give me an amen. Turn to your neighbor and say you're in the right place for miracles. Excellent. And so that's tonight, 5 o'clock. So we call it double dipping. If you've never double dipped, you come in the morning, you come at night, it's double dipping. You get that baptism of fire and the good things of God. So that's tonight. It's going to be awesome. Wear comfy shoes, because we tend to stand up a little bit when we have a night of power. It's, you know, just to kind of engage and kind of lean in. So it's very, very, very exciting. Last week, we launched the series Activate the Gift. Okay, I just want to know, who went to Connect Group this week? Give me a wave if you went to Connect. Way, so good. Now, who used a gift that maybe you've never used before? Who did something for the first time? Prophesied over someone, prayed in tongues for the first time? Come on, okay, what did we do? You prayed in tongues for the first time. Let's go, girl. Awesome. Is it Elise? Was it Elise? Awesome, Elise. That's magnificent. So proud of you. So we're stepping out. So this is not a series where we just are growing in knowledge. We are growing in knowledge, but we're growing in knowledge so that the gifts of God can be activated on the inside of us. So I grew up in a charismatic Pentecostal home. My parents are awesome. We went to a Uniting Church, so there wasn't a lot of charismania happening at the Uniting Church. But at home, we were kind of Pentecostal. And so we'd have kind of little small groups, family meetings on Sunday nights. And that's where I learned to prophesy. My parents would speak in tongues and they'd encourage us to, if someone got a word, and we'd sort of step out. And so I was used to the gifts of the Spirit at home. And then I was in a Pentecostal church like this. But back in the day when there would be a Pentecostal prophecy moment randomly from anyone in the congregation. Who's ever been in one of those churches? Come on. Okay. And so literally I would like to call myself Mike Boy. And so what would happen is after worship, you'd have a moment, someone like Zoe would get up there and we'd be waiting on God. And so suddenly there'd be room for someone to bring a prophecy to the church. Okay. Or a message in tongues to the church. And my job, kind of in the second row, I was 15 or whatever, and we had like a lapel mic on a long stick, so it was sort of like about this far, and my job was to work out who was bringing the prophecy and run to them and then so that everyone could hear the prophecy, you know, try not to get spat on while they were, like, because they were really wound up, they were spitting and fired up, and so it was, you know, let me just be honest, in that environment, sometimes it was awesome, sometimes it was average. And sometimes it was awful because sometimes someone would just begin to prophesy their personal opinion about how the church should change. They're like, the Lord would say the lights should be turned up more during worship, or, you know, or the Lord wants to say he's not pleased with the house or whatever. And I'm like, So we kind of calm that down a little bit. And really, it's not, you know, this setting is not where we would say is the place to learn and grow. The place to learn and grow is in a small group. It's in a home where we're learning and we can get a feedback loop. And so my days as Mike Boy was shortly lived. So anyway, it was good. That's kind of how we did. Whoever had the microphone for those moments? Did anyone else have a Mike Boy job? Just me. Okay, all right, fantastic. The glory days. So we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, particularly out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to share just some guiding principles that we shared last week, and then we're going to build on this a little bit. So the first thing is, just to be clear, every believer, so if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a Christian here today with a relationship with God, you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart, and He is transforming us to be more like Jesus. Now, let me just break there for a moment. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship yet with God, then today can be the greatest day in your life where you make a connection with a God who absolutely loves you. He wants the best for you. He wants to live in you, wants to give you purpose, wants to give you peace, wants to give you joy. So I'd love to pray with you before we finish the service so that you can connect with God, and it will be absolutely life-changing. It's my favorite thing to do. So here's the thing. Every believer has the Holy Spirit living in our heart. He transforms us to be more like Jesus. So this is the Holy Spirit. He is on an ongoing work as He lives in our heart to transform us. He produces fruit in us. Galatians 5:22 talks about 9 fruit of the Spirit. Okay, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, et cetera, et cetera. I haven't quite got them exactly memorized for that moment. I have to work at it. But there's 9 of them. You can read it in Galatians 5:22. The more the Holy Spirit is working in my life, the more like Jesus I become, the more that fruit of my character is displayed. So what we don't want to be is charismaniacs who are all about the gifts but not about the fruit. So we want the fruit and the gift. Is that we go, okay, we're doing good. Number 2, so if the Holy Spirit lives in your heart when you're saved, then there's a follow-up experience where He comes upon us through the baptism or the immersion in the Holy Spirit for the sake of others. So this is not the Holy Spirit in me transforming me from the inside out. This is the Holy Spirit filling me. Now, He fills me with joy, but there's a power that comes on my life so that I can encourage others and win others to Christ and the things of the Spirit. Normally, the usual sign that I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit is a personal gift of tongues, a prayer language that I can connect with God and build myself up. And it's a beautiful gift that the Lord wants all of us to have. The third thing is, there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, we don't know if that's the total amount of the gifts of the Holy Spirit or if it's just the starting place. We're not sure. The Bible's not clear. But there are very clearly, and what we're focusing on in this term is the 9 gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12. All right, and they are, and we put them in 3 categories: speaking gifts, which are different kinds of tongues, interpretation and prophecy. So that's what we talked about last week. The power gifts, we're going to talk about these today, the gifts of faith, gifts of healings, the working of miracles. And then next week, the revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits. All of these gifts, the Bible calls them manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And so they're not that, I'm not saying, oh, look, isn't so-and-so so wise? What we're saying is there's a word of wisdom in a moment, a specific moment for a specific person where the Holy Spirit gives wisdom that's beyond my own experience for another person. So you can grow in wisdom, you can grow in faith, you can grow in a range of these things. However, that doesn't mean that, oh, they're wise, they've got the gift of wisdom. They're 2 different things. So that's how it works. You'll often find the gifts of the Spirit work in tandem. So it might be that someone has a word of knowledge for someone for healing. There's someone here who's got this condition, and that's what we'll be doing tonight. There's someone here with this condition, and then what often happens, that actually produces faith in a person. That person comes out, and then the gift of healing works. Sometimes there's a discernment of spirits. Okay, there's what's behind this sickness is an evil spirit. So that discernment of spirits goes with the gift of faith or healing or whatever it might be. Tongues and interpretation of tongues, when it's the message of tongues. Faith and the working of miracles, often they go together. So just so we know. The 4th thing we want to be clear on, I think these are coming up behind me, is the purpose of these gifts is to show how spiritual and awesome I am. Oh, no, no, not that. The purpose of these gifts is actually to build up and strengthen others. And this is really where I find there's so much confusion around the gifts of the Spirit in church. And we talked about this last week. Really encourage you to listen to last week's message, because Paul's writing a letter to a church that's misusing the gifts. And he's trying to kind of set some things. And in the middle of 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 is 1 Corinthians 13. We know it as the love chapter. Everybody, everyone say love. Okay, so we know it as the love chapter. We read it at weddings, but actually it's to the church. About the motivation for spiritual gifts. The motivation is not, oh, I want to show you that I feel good about this. I'm using my gift, or aren't I spiritual? No, the motivation is I want to build you up. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you. I'm part of a community. This is why Connect Groups is so vital. I would say that the group meeting in a small group in a community of other believers is really where we go, oh, you've got that gift. We need that gift. You've got that gift. We need that gift. And we can all build each other up, strengthen each other in love. So love is the motivation, and the goal is to build one another up. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need you. I need your gifts. Come on, turn to your second favorite neighbor on the other side and say, somebody else needs your gifts. All right, that's us. And then number five, the Holy Spirit distributes different gifts to different people, and we can earnestly seek more gifts, especially prophecy. So it's not like one gift and you're done. It's not one and done. It's like, oh, I got the gift of discernment. That's it. Gift of discernment's awesome. But you can actually go, Holy Spirit, I want more. I love this, and I think the Bible talks about this principle. You're faithful with something, God gives you more. So if you're faithful with the gift that God's giving you, he can give you more. You can ask for more. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, I long to visit you so that I might impart gifts to you. So these gifts are impartable. You can get them. You can catch them. All right. So this is the vibe of it. So I talked about prophecy. So one of my experiences, I've grown up in an atmosphere where prophecy was normal. My pastor for many years was very prophetic. He was a prophetic teacher. I'd see prophecy all the time, heaps of it. So when you see it, you can kind of, if you've got something to model yourself after, you can be encouraged by it. It becomes the norm. But then I remember in the year 2001, I was in New Zealand, just become the senior pastor, and I was at a conference, and a renowned prophet was at this conference, and we were doing like what we call presbytery, where one person, he would just stand at the front, and basically everyone would come up and he would just give a prophetic word over that person, and then the next person. And so it was my turn. I came up and he prophesied over me. He said, oh, you've got a powerful gift of healing. Wow. And I'm like I was shocked, or as my kids would say, I was shook. So I was shocked, all right? I didn't know. It didn't even enter my mind. I remember afterwards, I was in New Zealand, and afterwards I was down the beach, and I was walking the beach going, a gift of healing? What? I hadn't seen it really operate much. No one had ever, it hadn't occurred to me that I might have the gift of healing. And so here's the beauty of a prophetic minister or prophetic ministry identifying a dormant gift inside of me this is where now it becomes up to me. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't just take over you and make your gift work. That's why Paul said to Timothy, you've got to stir up the gift. So you've got to activate the gift. You've got to go after the gift. So in that moment, I'm like, oh, I've got a gift of healing. I better learn how to use it. I better study it. I better go after it. I better practice it. And so I would say for many people in this room, if you're a follower of Jesus, you do have at least one spiritual gift of the Holy Spirit. You've got at least one. You might not be aware of what it is, but how cool would it be over these next few weeks in our groups where you're like, oh, I didn't know I had a gift of healing and someone got healed. I didn't know I had the discernment of spirits. Often when you've got a relationship with the Holy Spirit and you just think everybody does that, everyone can sense that was a bit yuck. That's a discernment of spirits. There's something off about that. I thought everyone could sense that. But no, that's a discernment of spirits. So I want to encourage you. There's more. You've got more in you from the Holy Spirit. And we need you to stir up your gift. We need you the church, we won't be what we're called to be unless you stir up your gift. So this is, it's quite, oh, let's go there. It's quite selfish to not stir up your gift. It would be selfish to say, I'm just too shy or not that kind of person. That would be the devil stealing your gift that's meant to build up the church. Don't pretend that you're humble and you're not going to step out in your gifts. So we're just going to stir, always he's preaching now. We're going to stir ourselves up and activate the gift of God in us. And so just a little thoughts about that, and then I'm going to get into today's gifts. When you either desire a gift or it's been identified that you've got a gift, then activating it means going after it. So here's a few things that you can do to go after a gift. Number one, if you don't have it, you can ask God for it. God, Holy Spirit, you live in me. I'd really love to be able to prophesy over people to encourage them. I'd love that gift. I'd love to be able to pray for people for healing. So you can earnestly desire, and so ask. You have not because you ask not, the Bible says. That's the first thing. The second thing is praying in tongues, your personal tongue. Praying in tongues a lot, it's the gateway to the gifts of the Spirit. It's the doorway. So when you pray in your personal tongue, it's kind of like stirring up the flow of the things of the Spirit. So I have a goal of how much I'm going to pray in tongues every day so that the gifts of the Spirit of God, I've got the Holy Spirit in me, the gifts of the Spirit of God will flow. Another cool little thing is the gifts of the Spirit aren't just for Connect Group. They're for your family, parents, discernment of spirits. Something's going on. Little daughter's created a fake Instagram account. What's going on with that? Hypothetically, the gifts of the Spirit. Give you in your business, the Holy Ghost, he wants to be involved in your workplace, winning people to Christ. The gift of healing can be the sign that draws people to Jesus. So we're learning in small gifts, in small groups, but the aim is it flows over into every part of our life. Come on, someone say that's good preaching. Thank you so much. Very good. Did you have fun with the so good when I preached on sex, by the way? Was it awkward in here or was it was awkward? That's awesome. Thank you. Glad to help. Glad. I have the gift of awkwardness. That's the 10th spiritual gift. The 11th is the gift of matchmaking. So that's something. I'm joking. Just, send all your emails to danf@rc3.com. You pray in tongues, you're going after the gift. You can study about it. So if you're like, I really want a gift of prophecy, so you can start listening to people who teach about how to get the gift of prophecy. That would be a great thing to do. Pastor David McCracken, Vicky Simpson, we've had a number of prophets who have come to our church. There's lots of them if they love Jesus and they love the local church and their vibe is to encourage, then you can start to listen and learn and stir yourself up. If you want a particular gift, gifts are imparted, so you can ask people who've got that gift to pray for you to impart that gift. And so one of the things I want to do this morning is I want to pray for people who've either got the gift of healing or you'd like to operate in healing and just impart that. Tonight we'll kind of activate it and we'll get it moving so you can get it imparted to you. You can also, the best way then is to begin to practice. So there's a certain amount of study is awesome, but ultimately you just got to give it a go. Humbly and boldly. Humbly and boldly, and always with a feedback loop. So it's always best to say, has anything changed? If I'm praying for healing, has something changed? Or did that prophecy resonate with you? Does that make sense? And if it didn't, you just kind of go back to God and go, okay, Lord, keep teaching me. As opposed to, well, that was the Lord, so you've got a problem. No. So a feedback loop so that I'm humbly growing in the gift that God's given me and to stir that up. So we can desire those gifts. So let's have a talk today about the power gifts, all right? So the first one is the gifts of healings. Interesting, the gifts of healing. So we're talking about a variety of kind of gifts. And now I've seen this. Some people tend to have a gift. So Danielle, for example, loves to pray for people who are having trouble with fertility. And she has a passion to pray for people who are having trouble with fertility so that they can have a child. And time again, we've seen God supernaturally help someone who's been barren have a child. And so she has a passion for that. And the more you see it happen, the more your faith kind of gets activated in that. But I kind of think that's one of the gift of healings. So that's kind of, there's a number. So she's got faith and a passion for that. I know some people and that like they just get knees healed. That's their thing. You got crooked knees? I'll get your knees healed. That's kind of like awesome. That's a great. I know we call that. It's probably some medical term for it. But in the sense, so gifts of healings. I don't think you have to be restricted to that. I think sometimes what happens is you just because last time you prayed for someone with migraines got healed, you now have a kind of a bit of a faith or a confidence to pray for the next person, so it sort of builds and momentum builds. But the gifts of healings, give me a wave if you'd go, I think that's one of my spiritual gifts. Give me a wave today. Who thinks I think I've got the gift of healings? All right, that's four hands. I'm going to say there's another 15 or 20 in the room, but it's dormant. And maybe you're not activated it or stirred it up. And that's without people who could go after it. So let's talk about this gift of healings. I think, actually, the gift of healings, so it can be physical healing. And this is not just for some special elite Christians. In fact, the Bible says these signs will follow those who believe. So this is for believers. Praying for healing is normal. They shall lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It should be part of our mindset, our normal mindset. I also think that Jesus talked about Jesus healing the brokenhearted. So I think of another variation of the gift of healing is someone's got an ability to pour oil on someone with a broken heart. And to bring healing and have the right words. And so the Spirit of God comes on them and they can comfort people who are grieving and mourning. And someone who's got a lot of pain and trauma in their heart and someone's got a gift to be able to draw that pain and trauma out of their heart. And that may well go with someone who... So sometimes you can be trained like a psychologist or a counselor and then add the gift of healings and then there's this supernatural and natural thing at work to bring healings into people's life. So let's, listening to people, if you want to go after this and when we got it prophesied over it, we're like, okay, we better start reading. I better start going to see people. I jump on a plane and there's a South African pastor called Theo Woolmeren. I don't know if you've ever heard of Theo Woolmeren, but he would do healing meetings. He was a teacher with a gift of healing. And so he would preach for an hour. He'd teach for an hour. And then he would literally go, all right, let's get people to stand up with the worst kind of illnesses. So not a word of knowledge. Who's got the most pain in the room right now? And then someone would say something, go, not you. No, not you, not you. Oh, yeah, that's good. It was like, oh, this is the... And then he'd bring that person up the front, sit them on a seat, and then he just had an unshakable faith. He'd begin to pray for them. Often, he had like the leg lengthening anointing kind of thing where people's legs were out and their legs would lengthen, and you'll feel power flowing up your knees. And I just watched person after person get healed as he mixed the stream of his teaching grace with the gift of healing, and the room just got... And the cool thing when you're in a meeting like that is when one person gets healed, the faith level goes up. And especially if you start on the hardest case, all right? So you got to know you've kind of had that gift working for a while if that's what you're going to do. But we got into those rooms because we're going after that particular gift that God stirred us. We read, and I think the best writer and teacher on healing is a guy by the name of Randy Clark. American-based man, he's just a really beautiful guy who's, and I refer to him as someone who prayed for blind people for 25 years and nobody got healed. And then one day got a breakthrough, and the next 9 days about 87 people who are blind got healed. So this is like the gift is there, but there's persistence and going after it. And so I love to listen to Randy Clark. He teaches a 5-step process of healing. You can check that out. Bill Johnson's got some great teaching on it. These are often are pastors and teachers with a gift of healing, but then there are other people who are evangelists and they've got a gift of healing. Yeah. And their gift of healing is different to the pastors and teachers with a gift of healing. And so if you've seen a guy called Todd White, he's got like dreadlocks down to here and he just gets the people on the street and he loves them and then he prays for them and they get healed. And it's like, oh, that's the evangelist gift working with the gift of healing. So Trent Membry, if you came to conference on the Sunny Coast, I'd love to get him to Melbourne next year. But he's one of those guys who's literally prayed for people who've been dead on the side of the road and really with a gift of healing and the working of miracles, seen them come back to life. So when you get around people like this, it stirs your faith that this is not just for the Christian elite. This is something God wants for us to grow in our life. We're doing all right. So what are some signs that God wants to use you for healing? Glad you asked. What are some signs? So we're in Connect. Let's just get it real practical. We're in Connect Group. And we're practicing healing. And there's a few things that might happen. So, you know, great Connect Group leader's going to go, does anybody need healing? We're gonna activate the gift of healing today, all right? So nerve-wracking, isn't it, for everybody with this? I love it. We're gonna try. We're gonna learn. We're gonna activate the gift of healing. So somebody goes, yeah, I've got a lot of pain, pain in my neck, but it's not anyway. Just leave that alone. I've got a lot of whatever, constant pain in my neck. All right, let's just use that as an example. And so you're like, okay, there's a few things that might happen to indicate the gift of healing in you. One might be that you just have a surge of compassion. You just feel, oh, that sucks. That's difficult. And so a surgery, so you might not normally be a merciful person, but you feel it in this particular moment. A lot of Jesus' miracles were motivated by compassion. So Matthew 14, verse 14, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped out from the boat and he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. Not, remember, we're not showing off. It's God stirring in the heart. Okay, we're going to heal the sick. Mark 1, 40 and 41, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you're willing, you can heal me, make me clean. And Jesus was moved with compassion. And he reached out, touched him. I am willing, be healed. So it was the compassion. So look for that feeling of, if there's a surge of compassion, that could be an indication that God wants to use you for healing, okay? That's the first thing. What else might there be? Okay, often when people get healed and you pray for them, not always, but often people describe a warm heat or like a hot oil traveling through their body. And so I've found this particularly for me when I'm praying for people for healing, how are you feeling? Now, not always. Some people feel absolutely nothing and then they wake up the next morning and they're healed, all right? But sometimes people go, oh, yeah, I'm feeling like a liquid oil, a warm flowing down my shoulder or flowing down my neck. And it's and you'd often say that's the heat is the healing power of God flowing. And so a bit of an indication that God wants to use you in healing, one of two things. Often, people who've got the gift of healing, when you wait and pray in the Holy Spirit, you kind of feel that heat in your hands. And so to me, when there's a sense the power of God is here to move in healing, then I'll start to feel, oh, my hands are getting warm, or there's a slight little tingle in my hands. And so this is, you learn a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Or, and this is kind of healing word of knowledge and being real practical here, but you might actually feel a heat in your hip. And you're like, oh, my hip's okay, but why am I feeling a real heat here? And you go, oh, that's, has anyone here got a sore right hip? Because that's what's going on. And that can be both an indication God wants to bring healing. Interestingly, and we'll get to this with words of knowledge, but one way for a healing word of knowledge is where you have a pain there. You're like, oh, I don't normally have, I've got a sharp pain in the right in the back of my neck. I never have that. What is that? And the Lord is like, that's how I'm telling you that there's someone here with a sharp pain in their neck and they need healing, all right? So that can be, now the older you get, the more pain you have, so the less you can rely on that. So that's a thing, all right? Just so if we work with that. So this is moving with healing, being really practical. Again, we'll do this and we'll, you get a surge of faith. So someone's got a sickness and this will go with the gift of faith, which we're going to talk about real soon, but there'll be a sense of a surge of faith for that. So when you're praying for healing, or there could be a word of knowledge. So when you're praying for healing, pretty much three ways to pray for healing. Okay, and there's a number, but I'm going to tell you the three core ways. The first way is to command healing. The Bible says Jesus touched him, I'm willing, and he said, be healed. He didn't say, God, I'm asking you to heal him. He commanded healing. Bible says you will lay hands on the sick. They will be healed. There's a partnership with God, but we're taking an authority that we have to pray and declare healing. So there's a the command is a normal way. So someone's, you know, let's just be real practical. Someone's got pain in their shoulder and you're kind of, okay, we're waiting on you, God. We're thanking you here. Who here is feeling you want to pray for that person? Because maybe this is a gift of healing operating in you, the surge of compassion or healing your hands, a faith that something's going to happen. All right, let's just pray. And in that moment, we're not begging God. It's God's will for them to be healed. That's what we're coming from. That we never pray, God, if it's your will, heal them. The leper said, if it's your will, Jesus said, I'm willing. I want to tell you, Jesus is willing. So he wants to flow through faith-built people. So we just go, in Jesus' name, it's always in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command healing in this shoulder now. Doesn't have to be long, but it has to have a sense of authority and faith with it. I command healing in Jesus' name. So it's a command. The second way that healing often flows is through, and literally it's a flow. So the woman who had an issue of blood, she bled nonstop for 14 years, and she reached out and touched Jesus' garment. And Jesus said, Luke 8, verse 46, someone deliberately touched me. I felt healing power go out from me. There was a flow of power. I would find that this is one of the predominant ways we see God heal is there's a flow. It's like we create an atmosphere, the Holy Spirit's present, and healing flows. Healing flows from hands. The Bible, that's why the Bible says lay hands on the sick. Because often the healing can come without a command. It's just we're like loaded with the healing power. We lay hands and literally, like if you could see in the Spirit, the power, the dunamos of God is an actual thing that will flow. And it flows into people and they get healed. I mean, it flowed through shadows in the Bible. It flowed through handkerchiefs. It flowed through all sorts of ways. And this is a normal way the power of God will flow. Remember in a meeting we had and God was beginning to heal people, and you find when God begins to heal people, the atmosphere lightens up and you could sense that there was healing power in the atmosphere. And I just said, oh, there's someone here and you've got a big lump on your arm and God's going to heal you of that. And someone just in their seat, that lump just went like a big lump and it just went away. What was that? There was a power in the air that was flowing into their body. That's flow. And the third one is deliverance. So not always, but sometimes sickness is caused by demons. And so a lot of the way that healing comes, so as an example, Mark 9:25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. This is taking an authority and getting rid of things that shouldn't be present in people's lives. So that's healing. Just quick overview of healing. I think that there's a number of people, we're going to go for this real soon, who you can operate in this. You don't need someone else to lay hands on you. You can let it flow. You can go after it. But the last two, gifts of faith and gifts of working a miracle, honestly, we could spend, this could be a 9-week series. But really, a gift of faith is a surge of supernatural confidence from the Holy Spirit that an impossible thing is going to happen. It's a supernatural surge. It's not, oh, I'm hoping. It's different to someone who over a period of time builds our faith muscle up. It's I'm praying, I'm connected to the Holy Spirit, I have passion for this person or this situation, and faith bubbles up on the inside. So you're in a small group, someone's got a need, they're like, oh, I'm facing this financial difficulty or this prodigal's away from God, and you're all praying in tongues together, you're praying in the Spirit and you're connected to God, and someone's like, oh, I want to pray for that. I've just had a surge of faith. That is going to shift. That is going to happen. And so we need a person with the gift of faith for that specific situation in that specific moment to pray. And when they pray, everyone's like, that's going to happen. That's amazing. What is that? Is that because they're super positive? No, that's a gift of faith. It's a surge of faith from the Holy Spirit. And so the more you see God move through your prayer, the more that gift operates. That would be something that I love stirring up. We stir that gift up. Last one, working of miracles. The working of miracles. It works closely with the gift of faith. We'll get the band to come on up. Thank you, band. It works close with the gift of faith. It's a supernatural ability to override natural laws. So it might be nature. It might be, stop the storm in Jesus' name. And you're like, whoa, what, how did that happen? I've seen that happen. Oh, no, I've heard about that happening. Pastor Phil talks about being in a stadium filled with people and it raining and then suddenly opening up. So Jesus did that. Stop the storm, a creative miracle. People talk about, and I read one about Peter Wagner who had a real faith to see people's limbs grow back. That's different to healing. A creative miracle is where something's not present is created afresh. That's the gift of the working of miracles. That's like, oh my gosh. Catherine Ruinala, who's our guest for conference next year, talked about a woman who had no womb, and so prayed and creatively God created one. And they've got before and after ultrasounds of this with this particular woman. That's the working of miracles. It's not just the gift of healing. Working miracles can be provision miracles. Jesus did it. Water into wine. Multiplying bread. So the work, if you're in business, the working of miracles is a great gift to ask God for, to stir it up. We've got a board member who's great at buying property. He's got great faith for property. And I just tell him, go and work that miracle. Go and work it. Because the working of miracles is not like I prayed a prayer and it happened. It's often progressive stages. Jesus prayed for a man who was blind and said, can you see? And he said, no, I can see men. They look like trees. So he prayed again. He worked the miracle. Prayed again. We're doing okay here this morning. So that's some of the power gifts. Tonight we're going to step out and just go after some of these gifts. And in our groups, we're going to really believe God for that. So can we just close our eyes right now?